Very good. Why don't we stand real quick and say hi to our neighbors, because I don't want anybody to feel like that they don't know who they're sitting next to. Morning, Warren. How you doing, brother? Good morning. I love it when the family gets to visit. It's hard to get them to quit. Hallelujah. So now that everybody knows each other, let's jump into the Word. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Matthew chapter 5. If you guys were here last week, we talked about, in chapter 4, we talked about led by the Spirit, tempted by Satan. Very interesting passage of Scripture as Jesus went to the wilderness and was tempted. And the three areas that he overcome, we asked ourselves the question, in those three areas that Jesus was tempted in, number one was, what did God say? And that was his response to the enemy. We need to remember that's a good response to the enemy. What did God tell me? And you stand firm on what the Lord has spoken to you. The second thing was, don't be testing God. If he says don't do it, don't do it. Don't be testing the Lord, because the outcome is going to be going around the mountain again, and you don't want that. So don't test the Lord. And number three was, worship and serve God. Him only. Stay with worship. Worship him. And we talked about what worship looked like in the area of our hearts to him. And it is our posture before him. And worshiping him in spirit and truth. What an awesome thing that we can do. And he gives us the privilege to do so. We need to take advantage of that. And we don't need to be ashamed of who God is. And when we worship him, it's okay. Doesn't matter what people think, right? Matters what we do. Today we're going to go into chapter 5, and the message today is called, Pass the Salt, Turn on the Light. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your message to us, Lord. I pray that our hearts are open to hear your voice today, O God, and that you would speak to us clearly in our individual lives and our corporate lives before you, God, and that we would be obedient children to you, Lord, and we ask, God, that you would raise the bar in our lives in the sense of us being humble before you and others, and God, what your word and the Beatitudes, what that all means to us. So God, go before us, let us hear, and let us be responsive, in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, chapter 5, we'll kick that off, verse 1, and it starts here. When Jesus saw the crowds, remember in 25, let's back up a verse where it says, and large crowds followed him from Galilee and Jerusalem and Judea and from beyond the Jordan. So there was a lot of people that was following Jesus at this time. And you know why? Because he was healing everybody. I mean, these people that were really sick, and there was no means of healing. These folks were in pretty bad shape. And so, in fact, it goes back. If you go back to the verse or two before, it talks about what those things, the diseases were that they had. And so there was a lot of pain, a lot of physical stuff going on that Jesus was touching these people and healing in them. And so they seen the Savior, the message of the Savior, and he was preaching the gospel message, right, to repent. Like John brought us into a place of repentance, brought them into a place of understanding what repent was. And so he took it from that place and moved forward with it. And so he was taking and giving them the message of God. And so Jesus was on his mission. This is his This is his first sermon, by the way. This is Jesus stepping into his ministry. It was his first sermon to the people as they were following him. So Jesus saw the crowds. He went up on the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. He opened his mouth and began to teach them, saying, verse 3, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. And blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Now, when you read that message, his first sermon, and you look at what he's talking about, the one thing you can see that kind of covers the whole thing is humbleness, a spirit of gratitude and love and peace and righteousness. And he's talking about those kind of people. The thing you don't see is blessed are the proud, right? Blessed are the rich because they're going to control the world. You know, blessed are the ones that are who are haughty because, you know, they're the ones that are leaders. No, that's not what he said. It was just the opposite of everything the world puts the picture on who is blessed. You know, blessed for of those who have the money because when they get old, they'll have a better life. No, he never looked at any of that because that isn't what's important. He looked at what's really important. And that is our life before him in a humble state before him and walking out righteousness before him. And so he declared this, and he declared it to the people, and he let them see it. And so the understanding of the world view and a godly view is like two opposite worlds, isn't it? And so Jesus made it clear who is blessed. Now, did he say you were going to have peaches and cream life? No, because he said right in the last part of that, he said, rejoice and be glad because your reward is great. For what? For being persecuted, for doing these things, even though you don't have to. You could retaliate. You could be angry. You could be mad, right? Because you maybe even have the right to be, because bad things happen to good people. But in this passage of Scripture, he's saying, you know, hang on to what you know is true. And keep walking the walk. And so the forgiveness and love that God is proclaiming and the blessings that will fall upon us, not maybe here on this earth, we'll get blessings here, but the days to come will certainly be a blessing if we do what we're called to do here. So then verse 13, it kicks it off here. And this is where the passage that I think we need to hear and be clear about, because as I see the message, you know, pass the salt, turn on the light, we got to understand what that means, right? Who are we? And what are we supposed to be doing in the days that we have here on earth between life and death? And so you all are, and because he's talking to the people, and so it's still the same today. He says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. So I looked at salt. Joey and I kind of went over some things. And so I'm just going to give you some thoughts about salt. Now, if you think what Jesus is saying to you and me about we are the salt of the earth, if we're the salt of the earth, what does that mean to us? What does that mean if we're salt, if we're the salt to the earth? So salt illuminates. Salt preserves, it purifies flavors, it melts ice, by the way. Did you know that? Throw a little salt on ice and it melts. It cleanses, it has a cleansing agent in it, and because if you put salt in a wound, you know, rubbing salt in a wound, it really stings. You know, you think about you when you proclaim Jesus to the world, sometimes that is... It stings, right? And they don't want to hear what you have to say. And so that that is an area where we need to get over what people might say or think about us when we share the gospel message of Jesus Christ. In fact, Dan just shared that he goes out in the streets and does that, and he shared with me that last week he went out and Guy Ashley accepted Christ into his heart, which was, he said, amazing thing. And as we go out and start doing the work of service, we're going to find out we're going to get persecuted sometimes, but sometimes God touches people's hearts and they get saved, right? So if you are salt, you're going to be out there doing these things. It also flavors, it melts ice, it cleanses, and it also creates thirst. People will hunger and thirst for righteousness if you are being the salt of the earth. And there was many, many more things that the salt does, but that was just some of them that I wanted to share with you. And so when Jesus is sharing this, you are the salt, that's what he's saying. He's giving us opportunity to grab a hold of what salt does, and if we're the salt, what does that mean to us? And so we should be moving into the era of purification and the cleansing process. I mean, God does the work. We're just helping him do that here while we're here. And sometimes the message is going to sting. People aren't going to receive what you have to say. Sometimes it'll pierce the heart, and it'll be good. So salt is an amazing part of what Jesus is talking about. And the reason why Jesus talked in these ways was because people understood what salt was. They used it a lot. In fact, they used it for tanning hides and all kinds of things. So they understood the importance of salt. So Jesus used what people had in front of him and what they used. Farmers, when he did the parables of the sower, you know, and then he used farming to get their understanding so they could see it. So the parable relates to them. And that's what I'm trying to get you to see when he's talked about salt, is the parable relates to you as well. It hasn't changed. It's the same. And so then you go on to say, it says in 14, it says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. So, you know, I was flying back from Montana when Joey and I went and helped Rick and Vonda move over there. And I was looking out the window and looking at the lights and the cities that we passed over, that you flew over. How many of you guys done that? I mean, that's an amazing thing for us to do that, to be in the air and fly over these cities and see these lights down below. And that light can't be hidden. I mean, it just is out there and you can see it. And that's the thing that God wants you and I to be to the world, is a light that people can see. And it says, you are light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. And so can you see how that correlates to you and me? But are we being a light? Are we being salt? And that's the question. And so light, I looked up some words that identify light. So it illuminates, it defeats the darkness, warns of danger, it confirms truth, irritates those in darkness. How many of you guys remember when you were a kid and your brother or sister was sleeping and you slipped in and turn on the lights? They go, what are you doing? Cover their head. My sister used to get so mad at me because she was a night owl and I was an early bird, right? So the first thing I'd want to do is go irritate my sister and turn on the lights in the morning, right? So she gets to flick the lights on and she'd be so mad at me. But it irritates those that are in darkness. And so when you bring light into a dark world, you're going to get irritation. There's going to be people that aren't going to be so happy with you. But you need to share that light and share the truth anyway. And you shouldn't be turning the light on in your sister's bedroom. I'm glad the kids weren't here. Pastor Dave, he told me to do it. No, I didn't. I did it. You aren't supposed to. And there's consequences for sin, let me tell you that. My sister was mean. She got back at me. So it warns of danger. It confirms truth, irritates those in the darkness, and gives visibility. It lets us see. Not only us see, but it lets other people who cannot see, see. And so God is good. He has a plan for our lives, and he gives us direction simply, a simple direction. Do you know how easy it is to follow the Lord in terms of just structure itself? What gets us offline is when we decide to do our own thing, or we want to experiment with things that aren't really, that are maybe even in the gray area, right? Well, God didn't say, right? He didn't say you couldn't drink, right? Everybody knows that. He didn't say you couldn't. In fact, the first miracle is what? Turned water into wine. What did he say about that? He said, don't be getting drunk. And my opinion is this. You're better off not to drink at all, then you don't have to worry about it. Right? There's no temptation to it then. And some people are called to just do just that, not to do it. So those boundaries that God put before us are very real. And if we test the boundaries and say, well, he didn't say you couldn't drink, right? Well, what did he say to you? Remember, we got to go back to what Jesus did when he was in the wilderness in temptation. If you're being tempted by that, what did God say to you? And that's my point, because I know what he told me. And if I step outside of the boundaries, then guess who gets their spanking? Right? And it's the same thing for you, because God loves you enough to do that. And so the reality is, what did God say? What did he really say? And you need to know what he said. And the only way you're going to know that is if you read this for yourself. Read it for yourself. Pick it up and read it for you, because it's very personal. What God will say to you in this can be rhema. It can be like a word that'll just pierce you. And you know. Right? You'll know. It's God speaking to you. But if you don't read it, right, how are you going to get it? In fact, I was talking to some kids this morning about just that. I don't hear God, right, like I think I should. Well, you do. You just haven't developed the ear for him yet. He says, keep asking, keep seeking, and you'll find. Knock on the door, will be open. Don't give up just because it looks too hard or you don't think God is speaking, because what you think isn't true. God is speaking all the time. He's whispering to your heart all the time. You just got to tune in to him. It's kind of like the dog whistle. You know, when you whistle, when you use one of those dog whistles, you and I can't hear that unless we're close to it. But man, them dogs can. It's the same thing with the Spirit. Once you tune into that spiritual tune, that message that God has, you'll be able to pick right up on it and you'll know it. You'll hear it. And then you can respond to God in a way that is right, because you've heard him. And so we see that his message to us is very clear, and the understanding of it is rich when you look at the simplicities of life and us staying in the boundaries of what he's called us to do. So we are supposed to be salt to the earth and light to the world. Now the question is this: if we are being salt and we are being light and we're living a life that is in the standards biblically that what we should be doing, then there should be something going on in our lives spiritually, right? Something should be happening in our lives. Either other people, we're going to be leading other people. And listen, there's two things you're going to do. You're going to either lead people to God, or you're going to lead them away from God, right? You're either going to be a gatherer of God's people, or you're going to be a scatterer of God's people. And the evaluation is this: how many people have you talked to about Jesus lately? You know, it's a very easy evaluation. If you're not talking about Jesus to nobody, then you probably ought to ask yourself the question, why? What am I afraid of? And how come I don't want to acknowledge Christ in my life? By sharing the good news of what he did for me, right? And so that personal testimony is one nobody can take away from you. And even though you think that people don't want to hear it, and that may be true, and you might get some flack from proclaiming the message that Jesus wants you to proclaim, the truth is this, is that you're called to do it. You're supposed to be light, and you're supposed to be salt. If you do nothing, if you just go, I'm saved, I'm good, I'm going to go to heaven, and that's all I need to do, then you need to go back to the Word and find out, what did Jesus really say? What did God say to his people? And if we're being light and we're being salt, then here's the thing that will happen. This church will explode if you guys go out there and just bring one. Remember? The missionary that came, He said that to the folks here that was on Wednesday night. He said that very thing. He said, listen, if all of you guys would bring one person, the church would double overnight. It would. And all you have to do is invest in one, just one. And if I was going to ask you the question, if you were going to be light and salt, and you were to ask the Lord, Lord, in my sphere of influence, in my world, in my walk with you, who would be the one you want me to talk to? Who would be the one that you would have me invite to church, to get to know the family? Who would that be? And so that's a question I propose to you and this is what we're going to do, and we're going to kind of make this a challenge, if it'd be okay. You guys all up for a challenge? Anybody like challenges? I do. I don't get much done without a good challenge. In fact, I do my best work in the last minute. So if you were to be challenged, and this is a challenge to you, pick one person that you're going to invite here to East Valley Church. Not just invite him, and it's more than that. It's more than that. It's more of a you telling them about Jesus and opening up your world, your life to them, and see what happens. There's going to be two things that happen. They're either going to accept the message of Jesus Christ or they're going to reject the message of Jesus Christ. That's all that can happen. So who's up for the challenge? Right? You want to do that? One person is all I'm asking, just you to go to one person, tell them about Jesus, invite them to church. And we're going to see, all of us going to do this together, and we're going to see what happens if we all work together for the gospel message and see what happens. Good challenge? All right. So we're all in. So everybody pick one, write their name down if you want to. And this is your mission for the next however long you want it to be, until it happens. Let's put it that way. Until you get somebody to come, until you witness to somebody, right, long enough to get them to come to church, then your mission isn't over, right? It's not over until you at least get them to come to church. How about that? Then you'll be salt and you'll be light. In fact, Billy invited somebody the other day, and he was supposed to come on Wednesday night, but they're working on Wednesday, so they couldn't make it. Now the challenge isn't over if they can't make it on Wednesday. They got to come. You got to keep opening the door for them to come. I think this is a fantastic thing, because what it does is it not only challenges others, but listen, the biggest challenge is going to be to you, right? To be gutsy enough to just take this challenge and do it for yourself. And then once you find out that you can do it, you might take the next step and go hang out with Dan. Then you'll really be stretched. All right, 21. Nope, where am I at? Oh, man, I better get busy. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. So he's saying, let your light shine before those, that one that you're going to go work with, and let your light shine so they can see God, that they can see and understand there is a God and he works in your life. It says, do not think that I come to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. Jesus fulfilled the law, the commandments of the Lord. The commandments that God gave Moses, he is the only one who did that, by the way. And because the Sadducees and Pharisees couldn't do it, although they knew the law and they proclaimed to do it, but the reality was, behind the scenes, they weren't doing it. Let me tell you this. We have failed in the area of obeying the commandments ourselves, haven't we? Right? You know why the law was given? So that you and me would know that we need a Savior. We need somebody to help us do this. And that's why Jesus came. So that he fulfilled it. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass from the law until all is accomplished. Has all been accomplished yet? No, we're still working toward the goal. However then, whoever then annuls one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever keeps and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Now that's a bold statement to people who are standing there, and he's on the mount, and he's given a message to those that are there. And listen, the Sadducees and the Pharisees were present. It said so. So there was them and there was others. And he's saying, your righteousness has to be better than that, than they were. Right? And so my question to you is, you guys know how that is possible? By the blood of Jesus that covers our sin. That's the only way it can be possible. And so this rebirth of Christ in you and me has to grow to a level to where sin grows dimmer in your life. It doesn't control you. Now, I'm not going to say that you're not going to sin, because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but you should be getting better. And by the covering of Jesus in our relationship with God in our lives, certainly we should be growing, right? We should be getting to be better Christians. And in that, the command to go, therefore, and preach the gospel message to the world should be one that we get excited about. And we should want to do that. But if your life is tainted and it's full of sin, or even hidden sin, and intentional sin that nobody else knows about, can God use you? Well, he can, but let me say this. He could use you in a better way if you were really cleansing your lives and being filled with the Holy Spirit and working in a direction to be right before God and then doing the work of service to the King. So you have heard that the ancients were told, you shall not commit murder, and whoever commits murder shall be liable to the court. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court. And whoever says to his brother, you good for nothing, shall be guilty before the Supreme Court. And whoever says, you fool, shall be guilty enough to go into fiery hell. Listen, that's pretty straightforward, isn't it? How many of you guys have not been angry with your neighbor or someone in your family or someone at work? How many of you not been angry with somebody? Anybody? All right, that means that we have failed that right there, haven't we? Well, we failed because we got angry with people. But what we do with it is we recognize it and we let God come in and fill us with the Spirit so that we're not angry anymore. Right? And so that's the difference. We are allowing God to work in us. We're allowing His Spirit to work in us. We are relenting our will for His. Not our will be done, but yours. Right? And so that's the idea behind what Christ is speaking. He's sharing this with us, that we need to let Him be full in us and not let the things get us. Don't let us be angry. I mean, I deal with this. Do you? Do you deal with anger in your life where people can tick you off, or, you know, and you're supposed to be humble and walk in a right way? I mean, I'm getting better at it, let me tell you. But there's been, haven't I, right? Hopefully. You guys can keep me accountable. But I am getting better with that. And so that's the reality of our life, is that we need to recognize our faults and be open about it, right? Be open to God and say, I fail, God. I can't do this without you. Come and give me strength to do what you've called me to do. So your humble heart comes underneath the headship of God and you repent. And you ask for His mercy upon your life. And then you change. And then He heals you. Right? And it's His healing. And if you go back to see what Jesus came for, was to heal those that were brokenhearted and all these sicknesses that are in their life. Now these shared, the one that they talked about was the sicknesses of the physical. He talked about physical sickness, also spiritual. But we are sick people. Does anybody recognize that? If you've looked close enough at your life, you're going to find that inside there is some sickness in you because you're tainted by the sin of this world. And God wants to heal you and me. He wants to touch you where you are, wherever that place is in your life that you can recognize that you have failed or you're failing. Then what do you do? What is the response to Christ? Is to come and ask him to touch you where you are. And be honest. Be honest with him and say, hey, I've failed and I need you. And so come and touch me and help me to grow. And he will. And so it goes on. And I'm running out of time because we got a long ways to go. And so he talks about angry there in verse 23. Therefore, if you are presenting your offering at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and present your offering. And I'm going to leave it there because that's where I want to close. And I want us to come to that place of recognition of our response to God. If we have any kind of thing that is in us about someone, if we have an anger towards somebody or a hurt towards somebody that's keeping us from being Christ to them, no matter what the situation, the Bible says definitely take care of that in your own heart. Don't leave it alone. Don't walk in this bitterness or don't walk in unforgiveness. Don't walk in an attitude of, oh, well. Because it will hold you back. It'll keep you from being all you can be. And it's just a simple acknowledgement before God that, listen, I have to get my heart right. And what takes place after that, God will lead you to that. But what he wants to do is he wants to heal that in you and me. He wants to touch that. And so if we have aught against someone, or if we've held something against someone for what they've done, we need to make that right and humble ourselves and before the Lord. And just make it between you and God right now. Because we don't know what the next step is until he speaks to us. But certainly here, this is where the rubber meets the road, is that you acknowledge the fact that you need God in this matter of reconciliation in your heart for others, anyone. And I know God brings that back for me. And I know he does for you too. So if there's in your heart where God needs to touch that area, and I'm not saying the people that are involved in this or in the past, what they did was right. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is where are you in your attitude toward others in it and your heart before God. Because if you're holding something in your heart for somebody else, then God wants you to get that straight. And then the forgiveness will fall and you'll go from there. Amen? So, prayer team, if you want to come up. And Alan, if you want to find something. And what this is you guys know the drill. It's just an acknowledgement between you and God. And it's not that these guys have anything to give you, because the only thing that's here is that you're just making a proclamation that, yeah, I hear that message and I want to get things right. And you can hold me accountable or pray for me or whatever you decide you want to say. But it's your opportunity to let go and let God. Let go and let God. Wherever it's at, whatever it is, and whatever your life. And sometimes it's family issues. Sometimes it's work issues. Friends, the past. Long time ago, maybe it's clear back into your school years. I don't know, I've analyzed pretty deeply some of my behavior patterns and where they come from and why I do what I do. And God's revealed certain things in my life and patterns that I've come up with for my own defense mechanism. Maybe you're there too. And maybe you don't know how to get out of where you are, but you've just made it a norm for your life just to not deal with it. But if God's speaking to your heart And he wants you just to proclaim forgiveness in your heart for whoever. And today, you can be free. You can be healed in Jesus' name. As simple as that. Just by coming and saying, God, work in the area of my heart. Hallelujah.